Hey, party people, have you joined our Discord server yet? You can meet fellow party people and interact with our cast and crew to talk about all things in Counterparty, both this first Ravnica campaign and our new campaign, which is a television show available on the Dungeons & Dragons Adventures channel. To learn more, head on over to our website at EncounterParty.com or check the links in the show notes. Now, enjoy this episode of Campaign 1 of Encounter Party. Warning, our show features very strong language and graphic depictions of violence, so listener discretion is advised.
Last time on Encounter Party, Lazov, spymaster of the House Dimir, fears he may be one of the five conspirators. In part to our players' interference, Lazov reasoned he may have deleted his memories to defend against the corruption of Merit Lage. Those memories may hold the very plans of Malphus Reed. Can our players complete their infiltration of the Azorius prison to aid the spy master? Find out this week on Encounter Party!
And Saloran all paralyzed.
Yep.
Okay.
And you can't unparalyze people, right?
Without a wisdom saving check.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, like, they can't wake us up.
No, you are. Can't move, can't speak, automatically fail strength and dexterity saving throws. Attack rolls against the creatures have advantage. Any attacks that hit is a crit if you are within 5 feet of the creature.
I'm really not a cat person.
Hey, man, I got some combos brewing over here. This is gonna be great. I'm so glad. Here we go. Sarah, you're up.
Yeah! Yeah! 23! Yes.
23! There you go. You are no longer paralyzed.
Yay, now I just have to last another turn.
Okay.
Auras are up because he's
conscious.
Okay, great.
Okay, but you automatically fail strength and dexterity. Okay, it's the Felidar's turn.
First one of the campaign. There it is.
Will it please make a constitution saving throw?
Yeah.
So I love tasty. It when you say that.
First one of the campaign. David, what is that number right there?
20.
I'm sorry. I believe that's a natural 20. Say hello to the bad guy. It's a 23 total. Does that work?
It saves.
Fakar's looking okay, but I think this Felidar recognized the dangerousness of Saloran. So would you please do me the favor of immediately failing a strength saving throw and getting knocked prone by this big lion? Thank you very much. It's now going to attack you. First attack is going to be for a 24. It will be, with all bonuses included, the first one will be 14 damage. Taking into account all your abilities, everything, it's 14. Next attack will be a 22 to hit.
That hits.
All bonuses in toll, it is 13 damage piercing. So you get knocked to the ground, and this lion just starts clawing at your helmet, getting on you. Yeah, you guys are starting to feel like, oh, crap. Lorzach.
Lorzach hits a lion. As a 15 hits.
It does not.
All right. Best turn.
Perix, you may attempt to break your...
Wisdom save of 21.
21. You are no longer paralyzed.
All right. Which mage do I know?
You were the first wave, so the one on your left.
Got it. Thank you.
Yes. Mage number one. Okay. Xenia.
Xenia reaches into her mind of encyclopedic storms and summons the iciest one she can directly behind this guy so she can get it on him, the lion.
Okay.
Please make a dexterity saving throw.
11.
Does not save. Okay. That lion takes 29 points of damage.
What?
Both bludgeoning and cold damage, please.
Okay. Hey, welcome back. Okay. Oh, man. All right.
Does it hit the other two or not?
It does not.
No, it doesn't have that range. She was keeping the spell clear of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, sorcerers get to that point where now they have to be careful about hitting everybody they care about, which is why sorcery points are a thing anyway. Okay, next up, David. You're on the ground, big guy.
I know. Well, I'm still paralyzed, so let's see if I can break that.
I believe in you.
Nat 20, baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
Nice. You still have to fight to get out from under it on your next turn, but you can do that later. Okay, the mages are up. They have one more option, both, to try and attempt to hold. Mage 1 cannot hit the two. Okay, so we're going to go Lorzach and Xenia. Please make wisdom saving throws.
Plus 5.
Not for Xenia.
Thank you.
12.
30.
Yes! It's a bell curve, y'all. It's a bell curve.
He's an elf. Lorzach, you're fine. Xenia, you're paralyzed.
Dang.
Guy number two can still... Okay, so Lorzach and Perix. I don't think the front two guys can get hit by anybody anymore.
21.
21?
25.
25.
Thank you for
fine.
Being conscious, David.
You're welcome.
You guys are fine. You're not held. Fakara, you're up.
Yay! I'm gonna hit this kitty cat in the face with my maces. Or not. Plus fives don't count to attacks,
no,
right?
No!
Yeah, that's a 13 and a 16.
No. Nope. It has some natural
hide
that is strong.
I am just not a cat person.
Great. Okay, Fakara, whiff. Lions are still attacking David.
Yeah, sounds right.
On the ground. That hit is going to be a 24. So you will take.
Yes.
That's the first attack as it gnaws on your face. Okay, 11 total piercing damage. I have all of your everything taken into account. You'll take 11 from the bite, and then it will try and paw you in the face with another 24.
Yes.
14 slashing damage.
So Lauren, his head, with the force of impact, is sent beating against the inside of his helmet, and he goes immediately unconscious, and the lion also triggers his first death fail.
And you just see this lion grab Saloran by the head and just start ragging it around. You know what I mean? When like dogs get a hold of shit and just like he goes completely ragdoll, and this lion is like rah rah rah, making sure that he's actually down. So he's down and he's already dropped one death saving throw. Lorzach, you are up.
Lorzach is going to use his reaction to provoke a Constitution saving throw.
Okay. Miss. Fail.
And the lion is going to take 8 necrotic damage.
Okay.
Lorzach is then going to swing against the lion with the Staff of Withering, and will a 23 hit?
It will.
All right.
That bonks.
It's got bonks. 15 damage to the lion.
Okay.
As a bonus action, Lorzach is going to cast Healing Word at the second level on Saloran.
Thank you, bud.
And Saloran will regain 9 hit points.
4 is up.
Yeah, that's right. It's just an 8, right? You don't have to decide it in interacts.
It's just on always when I'm unconscious.
Perix.
Perix, this image is actually horrifying, right? Like, there's a lion just shaking Saloran's ragdolly body around, and Perix actually closes his eyes, and the sound drains away from his body. And you see the crystal start to glow black, and he opens his eyes and looks straight at mage number 2 and says, "What is it you fear? Please make a wisdom saving throw."
A 26.
Yeah, he finds. And Perix goes, "I still don't know."
Justice knows no fear, criminal!
Fuck this guy.
That's my turn.
Villains fear me. No, he's not that book, but it is very like, oh, take it down a notch there, Superman. Okay, Xenia.
have to do a wisdom, right?
Yes. Target is 18.
Four is up.
So you get a plus five.
She is not within range of the aura.
Oh, yes.
Yes, 19.
Yay, you're no longer paralyzed. They are out of paralyzing attempts anyway, so nobody worry about that happening anymore. David.
Oh, thank Christ.
Am I grappled?
At the moment, yes.
Can I attack while I'm grappled?
Yeah, you can attack. There's no penalty for attacking because you can like headbutt it and stuff like that. Yeah, grappling does not prevent you from acting. Restrained prevents you from doing that. But grapple just means it has a hold of you and you can't physically separate yourself. Right. But there's nothing that doesn't say you can't winch away in and get a strike in.
Yeah, no. He's going to take his Morningstar and kind of flip the grasp so that it's below his fist and just ram it into the lion. The first one is a 14.
No.
The second one is a dirty 20.
Yes.
I'm going to Divine Smite one more time. Okay, that is 8 piercing damage plus 16 radiant damage.
You piece of shit. I can't even fudge this. That's exact. I can't even lie. I can't even pretend that isn't anything else. You son of a... Yes. Sorry. Sorry at home. Sorry at home. You said those numbers and I was counting up and I'm like, you're going to hit 73 exactly, aren't you? Yeah. Oh. Nope, that's a lie. It's not exact. It's still alive, but I'll take the damage. Ignore that. Ignore all of that.
What a tirade.
Also.
I thought he hit exact. I got really bad.
Should I do this?
Yes.
I think Saloran has been to death's door too many times in the past week. And in his rage at not felling this beast, he's going to use his bonus action to cast Spiritual Weapon. 16.
16 does not connect.
That is my turn.
Okay. Both mages are going to take one step back. They're going to move back 5 feet, and they're each going to cast Stone Skin upon themselves.
On themselves?
And that will be their turn. Flesh of a willing creature you can touch as hard as stone. So you see them just sort of like stone up, right? Like Colossus, but stone. Okay. Fakara. I don't know what the giggling's for.
I'm going to hit the lion with my maces.
Okay.
7 and a 10.
Nope.
I would like to take action surge.
Go again.
And hit the lion with my mace. All right, that's a 20.
And just so you know, an action surge is an entire other action. If you're two-handed, you swing twice.
16.
16 does not hit.
All right, so I hit once.
Do that damage and that lion.
With 8 piercing?
Okay, still not down. Okay, top of the order, lion. He's going to make a constitution saving throw. A 20.
Yeah, that saves.
It is going to attack Saloran.
Yeah.
For a 23.
Yeah.
It's going to bite you for 12 piercing damage. It will then swipe at your face, but it will miss.
Saloran is out, and you all feel the aura dissipate.
Pow, pow, pow. Just like a cat toy. It's just like... Okay, Lorzach. This lion is way more effective than I thought it was going to be.
As an action, Lorzach is going to smack the lion with a staff. And will a 24 hit?
Yes.
All right. The lion will take 13 damage.
How does it happen?
The staff of withering smacks it on top of its head, and its eyes roll back into its head, and it just kind of curls up. And just, you know, it's down. And it's very peaceful on the floor.
Great.
That's so kind.
Thank you. Just so you guys know, on your way in, those first 10 feet are difficult terrain because you got to climb over 2 deadlines.
As a bonus action, Lorzach is going to cast Healing Word at the 3rd level on Saloran. And Saloran will regain 12 hit points.
And you hear him go,
his head's still inside now dead lion's mouth.
yeah, you wake up inside a mouth. it just curled up with you as
usually
it like, went to
Tuesday.
Sleep forever. And, no, but it's on you. You are still grappled.
So much therapy.
Not kidding on that one. Perix, you're up.
Perix will step over the lion and into the room to the corner closest to you, Sarah. And I'm trying to remember stone skin. Stone skin is advantage on resistance to bludgeoning and piercing and all that. But I believe it's to all of those things non-magical.
I'm not telling you.
Damn
Cast
it,
your
Brian.
Fucking spell.
I would think so.
I will...
Does your wizard know the spell?
No.
Then your wizard hasn't studied the spell.
Okay.
You're looking at that going, huh, neat. As a Simic, you're going, double neat.
And I will go back to an old favorite, and we'll launch a lightning bolt directly at mage number two.
Lightning!
Will they please make a dexterity saving throw?
An 11.
Copy that. For 22 points of lightning damage.
Xenia.
Xenia slowly makes her way forward to get closer to the entrance of the room, and she casts Chaos Bolt on this gentleman. For a 16.
You see him very quickly wave a staff and throw up a shield of deny magic and protects himself from the attack.
Shoot.
Ooh.
David.
Saloran, so weary of life, pulls himself out of the mouth of this lion and stands. And he just thinks to himself, ugh.
Oh, wait. Strength check, buddy.
Oh, God.
Do it with advantage because it's dead. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
What's the total?
12.
It rolled a 13, no lie. The death grip of this lion is just...
Including with your plus 5?
No, I don't get it because it's
a
check,
not
a save.
It's a check. Got it.
This is unnecessarily effective. I'm having a great day. These lions are... I'm sorry, this is really funny to me. You're getting your butt kicked by a dead encounter. Okay.
You all hear...
The mages are going to retreat back the full distance they can move. So they're going to move back 30 feet. And they look like they're taking a defensive stance. Fikara.
So they're only like 90 feet away from me. Ish, right?
Yeah. How do I forget? Honestly, party people, explain this to me how I keep forgetting what you guys can do. Like, not joking. I like legitimately forgot that you can just run a fucking marathon in 2 rounds. Just do it. Just put me out of my misery. Just do it.
Oh, well, oh no, I wasn't going to do that.
Oh, great.
Guiding bolt.
Oh! Somebody had a chat with Kovix. Oh.
For like 10.
Is the roll?
Yeah.
Nope.
Damn it.
These guys are pretty good defensively. They're like, pew, pew, pew. Okay, top of the order. The lions are done. Lorzach.
Lorzach is going to advance 15 feet because of the difficult terrain.
Mm-hmm. You've also got to climb over your buddy who's a...
I'm trying really hard here.
I'm sorry, this is too funny for me. I can't believe... Come on, man. All right, go.
As an action, is going to cast Chill Touch at the right side.
Mage number 2.
Wizard. Law Mage. And will hit, ? With a 24?
Yes.
And the Law Mage will take 6 necrotic damage.
Got it. Perix.
Perix will... I can't help you get this line off, dude. I'm way too weak to be useful.
You
so,
shouldn't.
Yeah. Have fun. I will.
He's not technically in any danger right now. He's just stuck.
It'd be nice if he was useful.
Also, his aura ain't moving with you guys. That's the fun part for me.
I am within 90 feet of mage number 2. So I am going to cast Melf's Acid Arrow as the crystal glows that greenish hue, and from his fingers shoot a bunch of acid arrows. Nope, just one. That's why I was checking. And from his fingers shoot a single green acid arrow.
So Melf's Acid Arrow singular.
Yeah, I thought it through at that point. Natural 20 plus 9.
Yes.
It will take 12 acid damage.
Alrighty. Yeah, you're noticing that... you notice that the spells seem to be working quite well, actually. Whatever this stone thing is, they were probably preparing for something else, but spells seem to be at full effect. Xenia.
Okay. Xenia makes her way straight into the room and sidles up next to Perix, and she decides to follow Lorzach's lead and casts Chill Touch at mage number 2 for a 13.
Nope.
Oish. This is not her best battle.
This, I am surprised how effective this fight is going to, just so everybody knows, I feel like I'm winning, and I don't know what to do with that feeling, but I feel like I'm winning this one.
Oof.
David.
Thank God, 22.
Yeah, you managed to free yourself. What was the first one, like a 8?
6.
You managed to pull yourself out. It's still difficult terrain because there's still 2 dead bodies there, but you managed to pull yourself out, stand up, so that's half your movement plus going through difficult terrain, so you get
a quarter. If you come stand next to me, you're welcome to take the potion of healing in my pocket.
I'm going to dash, actually. Saloran is going to use a dash action and push himself forward 30 feet, furious. Not the smartest, true to the character.
All our egos are getting pretty smashed.
Derek is fine.
I'm used to it.
So, the mage that's quite hurt casts Expeditious Retreat.
Mother!
And then, as a bonus action, it can take a dash action. So it will then move and then dash. So it will move to the opposite side of the hallway, and it will move a total of 12 spaces up behind its companion.
And that mage will immediately take 7 more points of acid damage.
You got it. It does not look well. The other mage, you can also see, casts Expeditious Retreat on itself and backs up right in front of its companion. Fakara.
I will get my hooves, so I'm going to go...
Shut the hell up. Wow, Sarah. Wow, I can't believe you ran that whole fucking hallway and caught up to them. Holy shit.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Season 3.
That's it? You got a dash to get up there, is that the deal?
Yeah. No, well, that's 120 feet, that's my run.
Right, but your speed doubles. So that's a dash.
30 to 60, and then you dash to get to 120.
Right.
You so could horns?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Yes, you can. Gotcha. Oh my god, I can't believe you caught them. Oh man. All right.
And then
I'll give you inspiration after the battle.
Okay.
That's awesome. I can't believe you fucking caught them.
That's going to be a 19 with the horns.
Yeah. No. Shield.
Oh. Okay.
All right. So Fakara just comes running down the hallway, right? Like, hurrah! And these guys who are like, these mages who are slowly backing away, trying to figure out, can they actually fight? Is it time to just flee? And then just right at the bare end, you put your heads down, and this mage just barely in time uses a reaction to throw up a shield and manages to not get fully impaled by your horns. But it is a very awkward moment between the two of you as you're like,
Hi. How's it going?
Top of the order, Lorzach.
Lorzach is going to move up and train another chill touch at mage number in front.
1.
Number 1. 23 to hit.
Yes.
And mage number 1 will take 9 necrotic damage.
Okay. Perix.
Okay, so Perix runs across the room at the tightest diagonal that he can with his 40-foot range, which I believe puts him at exactly 100 feet from the second-most mage, and he will cast Lightning Bolt.
That's a nice snipe.
It's a very useful spell. Would they both please make dexterity saving throws?
A 5 and a 7.
Cool.
I think that means they failed.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Ned having to think this hard makes me really happy.
Perix runs across the room as lightning energy starts to crackle throughout his crystal and his body, and he fires a lightning bolt through both of them.
Yes.
And they will each take 44 points of lightning damage.
Yes.
Ooh, baby!
Yes.
Still up.
Ow! Both of them?
Yeah. Well, one of them has barely been touched. I imagine that you're running forward with your hands out, like...
He's like lost all chill.
You start casting it before you even get to the spot. Still up.
All right.
Xenia.
I'm just a little bit short. I'm just a little bit short. Okay.
We do know this about you, Landry.
In life and, the game. Okay. Xenia moves closer and further into the room, throws out her hand, and casts Chill Touch at the mage closest to Fakara. And she crit fails.
Probably cut that part out because we already have a sound effect.
David!
Saloran sees this impressive attack from Perix that fails to take them down and just goes... He's going to cast Find Steed, and he's going to summon a Celestial Alms Beast, and then mount it and charge after them. 20 feet. There we go. They have a knight on a fucked up Alms Beast chasing them.
Okay. What the fuck did this encounter become? This was supposed to be like some guard duty shit, and now this is just piled completely out of control. And I think the mages know that. So what you see is, you see the mage in the front put their hand to the wall and they cast Arcane Lock, and you see the wall ripple with that matrix style script, and the pathway behind you closes off and they stay where they are. And then the second mage puts their hand to the wall and also casts Arcane Lock, double locking the barrier. And then the back one runs up and around the corridor, moving 90 feet. No, sorry, 60 feet.
Christ.
Sorry.
I mean, 60 is still a lot.
They can move 90 if they didn't also cast the spell. But full move, then dash with Expeditious Retreat, they use 60 feet to move up and around the corner. Lorzach, you are up.
Lorzach edges closer to the mage next to Fakara and sends yet another Chill Touch out into the ether. 23 to hit.
23 hits.
And the Law Mage will take 6 necrotic damage.
This Law Mage just... Look where they work. Look who you are. And this Law Mage just looks right at you, Lorzach. And can see you summoning the spell. She can see you building up for it. And she just barely utters out of her mouth, "You piece of rot!" And then, bam, she gets hit with the spell and drops down. And you guys here, passive perception, David, Fakara, and Lorzach.
13.
18.
Passive perception.
Oh, right.
18?
18.
Okay, so you guys don't hear anything, but Lorzach, you hear like a... You're out of combat.
I'm going to ride around to the edge and turn the corner.
You turn the corner and you see the Law Mage flat on the ground, and standing over that Law Mage is a slightly older looking, bigger Law Mage.
Hello, Lazov.
You guessed correctly. You see the Dimir guild leader shift back down into his normal form, and without saying a word, he kind of lets you know that you're really fucking late, and he just starts walking down the hallway.
And now, a quick word from one of our sponsors. You know, folks, blank walls can be pretty boring. So why not spruce up your home or office by heading over to ukiyopop.com? They have a collection of traditional Japanese prints inspired by today's comics, games, and movies. The gallery is viewable online for free, and prints are available for purchase. So head over to ukiyopop.com. That's ukiyopop.com. Tradition in a modern method. And now... back to the party.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thinking that discretion is the better part of valor, Saloran is going to dismiss a steed that has no name and gesture to the others.
You guys see David go running around the corner, riding around the corner.
I think we follow the noise Perix around the corner.
Yeah, Perix is forging ahead.
Yeah, I'm going ahead.
So you guys go running up and around the corner. You happen to just sort of catch the tail end that, yep, Lazav is here. Yep, he was waiting for you. Geez, I hope we didn't piss anybody off too much down here. How much trouble are we in? And then you go rustling to keep up. And you pass a great number of cells on either side as you run through. Some of them are very, very large that look to be empty. Lorzach, you're just getting flashback after flashback. This is exactly where you thought you were. This dark underground that is simultaneously just so oppressively sterile because it's the Azorius. There's no dirt, there's no fungus, there's just this pristine white sort of laboratory cleanliness down here, and just these large empty cages where your people were held for years, and they've all been meticulously cleaned and scrubbed since your absence, as if the Azorius just couldn't even stand the memory of you guys being around. And then you keep passing and you start to hit some singular cells. And each of these cells are sort of brightly lit. And as you look inside, you can see that each one houses what's known as a detainment sphere, which is a floating prison that people are trapped inside of. And it's just big enough to house your collapsed fetal position. So you're literally hugging your knees in jail, suspended off the ground, so you can't even get purchase. It's just a terrifying place to sort of showcase that this group that has adopted the role of law and order can take that to an extreme they see fit. And you guys walk for a little ways, being forced to confront this, before you reach one particular cell that Lazav just opens without no key, no nothing. He just do-do-do-do-do-do and then just opens and steps inside and just turns to you and says, here we are. And then you step inside. And as you guys sort of funnel around the room, does anybody feel the need to make any sort of party order?
I'm going to heal myself with Lay on Hands for 40 HP first.
Okay.
Do you still need healing after that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. What else is here? Make a perception check.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
24.
Natural one.
This is probably... I can imagine that this is just a boring location for you.
Sure.
Right? Like, as a Simic, you're like, stuff's supposed to be going on here, but there's, like, nothing here. What a waste of space this is. There is nothing else in the room. It is literally an empty room, and there's like a small podium that is actually suspending the sphere up in the air, and there's a detainment sphere with somebody inside of it. That's all that's in there.
And who is this?
Would you kindly open this for me?
And Lorzach opens the detainment sphere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you touch the symbol, sort of like a credit card, swipe it on the sphere. The sphere disappears and onto the ground, like Lazav not even bothering to help this person. This prisoner just slams onto the ground. It's a human male. He's completely naked and has like the long hair of somebody who hasn't shaved in years. So a full beard, full long hair. There are some things about him that we'll discuss in a minute, but he just sort of... And then he looks up, kind of sees everybody, and then he sees Lazav, and he goes, oh, hey, boss. and he is uncomfortably
cheery.
Hey,
boss, how's it going?
And you see Lazov ask him, "Did I leave anything with you?" Okay, let's check. And then you see him kind of stick his finger inside of his temple and sort of swizzle it around for a little bit. And while he's in there, his eyeball kind of like rotates with the finger. And then he goes, And you see him pull this very, 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 like a tapeworm length, like a magic trick. He just kind of pulls out this long blue and black piece of candy floss. It just sort of comes out of his head and he goes, "Oh boy. Oh, that was taking up a lot of room. Yeah, this is a doozy." And he hands it to Lazov. And Lazov takes it in his hand and then immediately drops it on the floor and takes a step back.
Is she in there?
No, but I am. I suggest somebody else picks that up.
Perix walks to it and grabs it. Or do you not want Perix to do that?
The moment you touch this strand, you realize that it is an actual memory, that the Dimir have this ability to sort of encode thoughts. And when Lazov was talking before about having to pull memories out of his head, you realize that this is probably what he was talking about. And you hear a message to himself written on this coding. And the message to him says, "Whatever it is that you think you're looking for is far too dangerous for you to do it yourself. Commandeer a proxy or abandon all hope. She has bested you. You will not win." And that's the message.
And it's not a... There's no visual aspect to it. It's not like I see a room where he said it. Like, it's just the
sound. Just his voice.
Okay.
And that seems to be the entirety of it.
Perix kind of went away for a hot second. Just sort of like you saw him go still. So he was focused somewhere else. And then he sort of blinks back and looks at Lazov and says, "Who else could face her if not you?" And then I look at the others and say, "He's already lost."
"I think it's evident that you're going to have to go in my stead. Our future now relies on you."
"Go where, Perix?"
"If you couldn't, how could I?"
"Because for some reason, you haven't lost yet."
"What are you fighting if you haven't lost?"
"I have absolutely no idea. I don't know what battle there is to wage. I don't know on what grounds. I don't know with which weapons. What I do know is that he already tried, and he told himself he couldn't do it."
"Did you do it alone?"
"I suspect yes. I'm not a real team player."
"Well, that's probably part of the problem."
"Oh my God.
Secret is friendship."
Thank you, Boros Legionnaire. Oh, I was going to give you inspiration after, and now definitely take it. Thank you for playing your guild. Just freaking primo perfect. Maybe if you were nicer, the world wouldn't end.
"Do you think there are more memories that would help us know what steps you took and failed?"
He points to the prisoner, who is on his butt, but just sort of chilling, right? Like, he's just sort of listening. Like, you're starting to get the impression that this guy belongs to the guild and his job is to be imprisoned in this terrible place. Like, that's his job, so that if Lazov needs to bury a secret, no one's getting it. So he points to them, and you very quickly realize that there are markings all over his body that look like tattoos. That are tattoos. He's got tattoos.
Is it a lot of them? Is it a script? Is it images? What are we looking at?
It's a bunch of stuff.
Cool.
Okay, so I inspect his body. Oh God.
I inspect his body.
I made
body.
It so uncomfortable then.
Just everybody roll some inspection, and then if you collectively, you know, if more than half of you are above 10, I think we're okay.
Got a
13.
Got a 12.
19.
18.
20. Non-natural.
Good enough. Okay. So, what you notice, probably the first thing that's obvious is these tattoos are different colors. Each tattoo itself is a solid color, but there are tattoos of different colors around the thing. The first one that you notice is starting and ending around the trachea is a large number tattooed around his neck. The following number is 0 2 7 1 9 3 8 5 7 6 1 0 3 9 8 7 2. Season 3.
17 numbers.
The next thing that you notice is on the upper left tricep, there is a red X.
Does it matter what color the numbers are?
They're black.
Okay.
On his right clavicle is a blue circle. Inside that circle is a blue rectangle that is long vertically. Okay, so like an upright rectangle. On the back shoulder, on the opposite side of that clavicle, there is a similar sized circle. Inside of that circle, which is also blue, is a hand held out, palm facing outward. It is the right hand.
And it's still a blue circle again?
Mm-hmm. So both of those tattoos are blue. Even though he has been in prison for an indeterminate amount of time, his feet look quite muddy. However, on the bottom of his right heel, there has been part of the heel cleaned. That is a circle, and then inside the circle are six dots concentrically around the inside of that circle. Those areas have been cleaned away.
What color is it?
His skin. There's dirt, and then somebody's power washed away.
I see.
Pieces of him.
Thank you.
That is everything. Those are all of the tattoos that you and markings that you find on this prisoner.
Perix asks Lazov, great. Does any of that mean anything to you?
No.
We must see the Grand Envoy now. This is a contract code. The first one.
And why do we suspect that?
At the end of season 2, when we were given the contract number to take to the Grand Envoy, it was a similar amount of digits that we took and just entered into the grand database of the Orzov Syndicate.
Okay.
I asked the prisoner his name.
He has no memory of his name, unfortunately. I think this poor dude is just a vessel.
Who's very cheery. He's living his best life.
Probably took away all the memories of bad stuff.
Ooh.
Ooh. I didn't think of that, and I made him. So having garnered as much information as I believe you guys need to progress forward, the prisoner sort of hops back up on the pedestal and and just sort of hugs his knees and looks up, turns the detainment sphere back on, and away he goes. Also, you have the memory.
Yes.
It's in you now.
Yep.
Xenia turns to Lazov and asks, so if you lost, are you fully corrupted? Are we able to trust you at this point? Would you even be honest with us if you were?
He just starts walking away. He's the guild leader of the Dimir. Like, he's going to tell whatever he thinks gets you to go do something.
As Xenia leaves, she uses her spell of minor illusion to just cast some little twinkly lights near the prisoner just so he has something a little prettier to look at for a bit.
Oh, that's horrible. Lazov is just waiting a couple paces down the hallway, back towards the way you came in, and happens to turn the corner and look down and then turn back and go, And he just kind of looks at all of you like, you let him lock it twice. Like, fucking hell. So he's like, okay, we need to find a way out now.
Perix looks at Lorzach.
We have an arcane lock to deal with, two of them.
Yeah.
How do we get out?
We have one Azorius badge. Why don't we search their bodies?
Because they don't have any. That badge was in my room.
That's right. That's right. I forgot that.
That badge was in that case in Alfonso's penthouse.
Xenia, just for kicks, casts Acid Splash to see if anything happens.
You just throw some acid on the barrier and it just goes, and like a ripple of words come out.
All right, so how do we get out? I can't dispel magic.
Perix, not half jokingly, but not, says to Lazov, where's the front door?
He points a finger up.
Do you have any more faces for us?
Yeah, I don't know how to say this without being rude, but yeah. What do you guys want to look like?
Azorius Law Mage would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, give a description. What do you guys want to look like? There's all sorts of Azorius guys out there. Some people have, like, you can wave over Salor, and then he gets some of that, like, big bulky armor that, like, you can't move in.
Yeah, Lorzash looks like Michael Chiklis in The Shield. Yeah. No. I take it back. He looks like John Polito in Homicide: Life on the Street.
Yeah!
Xenia looks like David the Gnome. You know, just short and stout. You know what I mean? She's just spent so much time so high up. She's like, I want to be a short, fat man.
Okay. So he, all right. So, Xenia, no. Cause there's Senate people. I got to find out the word. What is the word I'm thinking?
Senators?
No. Yeah. So the Azorius have these like elocutors who are part of the like Senate. They're like part of one of the columns and they have kind of these weird long robes that trail behind them. So, you're going to have to make that work now. Yeah, we're going to have another one of those moments. Okay, here we go. So he makes Xenia look very important.
Yes.
she looks very high up.
Yes.
There's no minotaurs in the Azorius, are there?
There are not.
Okay, I'd like to look like not a minotaur.
Oh, he makes you look like a court hussar. So you go full Vidalkin, big blue armor. You look like you're maybe a personal attendant to Xenia.
Fetch me a water.
Yes, sir. On the double, sir.
Saloran face palms. It wouldn't make any sense for prisoners to be heading out. I'm trying to think of a way for like a group of six people to be together without drawing suspicion. They would not let prisoners out. Right. I'm going to look like the character Mouse from The Matrix.
Nice.
And I'm going to be the spindly assistant to Xenia.
Like a law clerk?
Yep. Like, fresh out of Ravnican undergrad.
Okay.
Perix looks like Jax from Mortal Kombat.
Before or after arms?
No, arm. Oh, no, the Azorius wouldn't have the metal arms.
No.
So, before.
You're just the piss-poor version of Jax?
Yeah.
Like, so you're just a big dude with muscles.
Yeah, that's it. It's all Perix has ever wanted to be, really.
All right, fair enough. God. Okay, so you guys go marching through, and you very... Lazov seems like he's going to, like, go ahead, right? Like, everybody together ain't a thing. He's going to run off ahead of you guys to try and do what he can do, because hanging around at your pace apparently is a lot slower than he's willing to operate. So there you go. You guys start traipsing around this secret underground prison pretending to be Azorius. Let's get some bluff checks, please.
Oh. Yes.
Performance?
Deception.
Oh, come on.
16.
13.
3.
I'm going to use my inspiration, assuming a 12 does not pass.
Did you roll a net 1?
Yes.
I will give you a point of inspiration.
She already used one.
Fuck.
You proceed toward what looks to be a major stairwell going up, and there's just something off about you guys.
I rolled a 21. Does that count?
Yeah, yes. Some of you are looking good, but not everyone is. There's something awkward about this group, and you're on the lowest level. And so you get some... The people who work down here are not fools. Like, they know what's going on. And
I salute everyone.
Oh, hello. You immediately you immediately get stopped, and they seem to only be talking to you.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And they just, Sir Elocutor?
Sir Herbert Elocutor, thank you very much.
Oh my god, we're doomed.
Yes. Have you seen to everything you require?
Yes, thank you for asking.
I see. Pardon the blunt accusation, Elocutor, but I don't remember letting you down here in the first place.
Oh, yes, you did. You just don't remember.
That's a very difficult persuasion check to make.
My apologies, but the Elocutor, he's growing very senile in his old age. Please forgive him of this break in protocol.
And Xenia just starts, like, swatting at pretend flies around her or
sir,
him.
I've got it for you.
Thank you.
You're all welcome, right,
let's
sir.
Get some, let's get some performances with advantage.
All right.
Christ.
Oh, okay. 15?
This guy looks like he's about to do something bad. Raise an alarm, cast a spell. This is not going. This, whatever this is, bail now and make
all
a
right.
choice.
I got something.
Okay.
Everyone roll stealth because we just went invisible.
What?
Before we go to do this, like, you disappearing, you're just going to sneak by him?
What other choice do we have?
Knock him out?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Saloran?
Yeah.
Saloran, this spindly little, excuse me, punches him with a mailed fist.
Opposing strength check, please. You're going to win. I rolled a 2.
Great. I rolled a 21.
Yeah. Do what you want.
Saloran nails him across the face with a plated fist. He goes unconscious. And Saloran looks at the others and says, should we kill him?
No! We're already disguised.
Lorzach?
Let's go. John Polito voice. Yeah, this won't hold up. Let's okay. Let's sneak the rest of the way out.
Yeah.
And we can move super God. Fast and catch up to Lazov. Everyone gets a plus 10 on stealth checks.
Oh, amazing.
Courtesy of Pass Without Trace?
Yes.
Thank you.
There we go. That's a nat 20 right there.
Hey,
there you
nice.
Go.
Ooh, I got a 20. Oh, wait, I have disadvantage, but it's still 26.
What do you have disadvantage
for? I have disadvantage.
Armor.
Yeah, armor.
I do as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I rolled a 24, though. Thank
21.
You.
21.
Dirty 20, as Quinn would say.
I think you guys are fine, and I think you avoid an encounter, and I think you slowly sneak your way up, and you realize that the top of this fort, right, the top of whatever this is or whatever it should have been, you know, you're dodging guards left and right. It's tricky. Wow, this could have been a really elaborate, difficult thing to escape, but thanks to the combination of, you know, Lazov looks like he's doing some stuff at the front. Like, this somehow went way smoother than we were all fearing it was going to be. And there were a lot of things I could have thrown at you. But I think somehow people were like, let's GTFO. And you kind of sneak out of the bottom of this hyper security place. And you realize that you're kind of in like an abandoned parking lot kind of area, right? Like, it looks like a part of the city that got demolished that nobody goes into anymore. And you can look and just like maybe half a mile away is New Prov in the heart of the court system. And just the real just sort of center structural of law is right there. And this sort of innocuous abandoned place, it's kind of, you know, hurtful and devastating to understand and to now know that places like this might exist and that people you know or people who are of your kind or your guild may be stuck in some terrible place and there's nothing anybody gonna do about it. You guys are officially topside and have dodged an encounter again thanks to Pass Without Trace.
Yay!
On the next Encounter Party! It appears the Spy Masters of Ravnica are truly great at hiding their secrets. With Lazov no longer able to help,
Can our players decipher these clues and track down the memories of the Dimir Guildmaster? Find out next time on Encounter Party!
Encounter Party is produced by Play Plus One and Charging Moose Media, based on the worlds of Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering, created by Wizards of the Coast. Original campaign written by Brian David Judkins. Sound capture and original effects by Will Malones. Edits and mixing by Ned Donovan and Katie Brow. Theme song and additional music by Alexander Nakarada of Serpent Sound Studios. Additional music by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech. Special thanks to Megan Judkins and Will Malones.
Hey, party people, this is David Huynh, the voice behind Saloran. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe and review on any podcast platform that you listen to. You can engage with us one-on-one via Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook group. And be sure to follow the website for news and updates at EncounterParty.com. Let's keep the party going.